When I first met this woman, I saw Rose and I latched on to her. I told her, baby, I don't want to marry. I just want to be your man. Rose told me.
I told him if he wasn't a mankind, then move out the way so the mankind could find me.
That's what she told me. You're in my way, you're blocking the view, move out the way so I can find me a husband. Wait, Corey. I want him to help me with this fence.
He got recruited by a college football team.
It ain't gonna get him nowhere.
If he be like you in the sports, he gonna be all right. Hey, but two men ever played baseball good as you.
And what'd it ever get me? I ain't got a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of.
Hey, Pop, can I ask you a question? How come you ain't never liked me?
What law is there say I got to like you? A man is supposed to take care of his family. You live in my house, fill your belly with my food, put you behind on my bed because you're my son. Now, don't you go through life worrying about whether somebody like you or not. You best be making sure they're doing right by you.
People got their Star Wars, their Civil War, their BVS, their La La Lands. I'm glad they got all their most anticipated films out of the year and it lived up for them. But for me, my most anticipated film of the year, motherfucking Fences. Fences, the Denzel Washington directed, starring, I think he produced it as well, story right here. And I'm going to tell you right now, this movie lived up to the hype that trailer portrayed. This is the one movie this year I can guarantee say that the trailer had me excited, had me pumped, and said, damn, them some award-winning performances right there. And sure enough, from start to ending, it was some award-winning performances. Denzel Washington, Fences, goddamn. Woo! I don't even know where to start to talk about this film. As you can already tell, I'm excited. I damn near love the damn film. It's probably up there in my favorites of the year so far. I finally got a chance to head to one of the screeners we had for this film this week, and which I didn't even know was going to happen. I figured they would just send me one in the mail or something like that, which I would have been fine with, but I'm kind of glad I saw this with a general consensus here because I wanted to get a crowd react. This is award season time. You know, you want to get a crowd reaction more so. I mean, I love watching the films at home. Don't get me wrong, but something about the crowd, that's how you know when you got something that's gold on your hand, especially when it's an award season, because some people can say, oh, that film is pretentious or this and blah, 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 that and that. But let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis here, too. And I'll be honest, I don't even know where to start with this. Basically, this movie takes place in about maybe three settings. That's in this house, in the backyard, and in the front yard. Can't forget that. So maybe four settings. And him and his job working for, the city... the city garbage, I don't know what they call those people, but whatever. And I don't even know what city this takes place in. I'm going to say New York, though, because the Yankees get brought up in here. And there's the city looks a little familiar to either like the New York, D.C. area or something like that. So I'm going to go, this is in the East Coast somewhere. But you got Denzel Washington. And this is based off of a stage play. Where I heard that Denzel and Viola Davis actually did a stage play of this, too. I think it was played by... I'm blanking on this brother's name. Oh, shit, the dude that voiced Darth Vader. We all know who he is. Damn, I'm... why am I forgetting his name? Okay, well, the dude that voiced Darth Vader, Simba's father, you know, all the good... Earl Jones, there you go. Mr. Earl Jones himself. James Earl Jones. And this is based off a play that they did, and I heard that Denzel and him did a play... Viola Davis did a play for this as well, which I need to go see that because this is incredible. He plays Troy, though. His wife, Viola Davis, plays Rose. They've been married for 18 years now. And he works as a trash man for the city garbage company here. She's a stay-at-home mother. She has one son, obviously. That one son is played by... Jovan Adepo, he's Corey in the film. And Denzel has another son here, Russell Hornsby, who plays Lions in here, who we might as well just go ahead and call him young Dr. Dre, because if Dr. Dre ever feels like he needs to star in a movie where he's older himself and he don't want to be in it, he needs to go ahead and get this brother. And it's basically just a story about going on, just average talking, life in the day, telling stories of what happened, only to come about in some drama where the son wants to play, he's about to get recruited by a college team to play football, And Denzel's kind of holding him back, saying, because they grown up in 1950s terror. This is before Jackie Robinson got to play ball, where apparently Denzel Washington's character, he was one of the best baseball players of all time, well, as he says. But they wasn't letting colored people play in the pro league. So he feels that his son is wasting his time and needs to go to school, learn how to use them hands so he can start to work on cars or something that's going to put some food on his table and put a lot of money in his pocket. Basically, he's trying to teach his son how to be a man. And sometimes to be a man, you got to make sacrifices for those you love and stuff. Meanwhile, there's also a story in here, too, between, you know, Viola and Denzel. And I got to tell you, people, Viola Davis, she is probably the best performance I've seen her in. She comes to play ball in this film. She ain't fucking around. She's got two monologue sequences in here, and she kills it. This is easily her year, like without a doubt. Like, you know, when I did my SAG award thing, I was talking about how Naomi Harris, she's gonna win it for Moonlight. At least I wanted her to win it for Moonlight for Best Supporting Actress. Best Female Actress, that might go to Viola Davis, because she clearly knocked it out of the park here. But basically, there's a story in here too where he's got his buddy in here who plays what's his friend's name in here? Bono, played by Steven Henderson. You guys seen him around before. Bono pulled him aside and say, because that's where that line comes from. Some people, you make fences to keep people in. Some people build them to keep them out. You know, she wants you to build that fence. Maybe she's trying to keep you in. He pulled him aside and say, look, we all know you what you're doing behind closed doors when you have to worry. We see you mingling with them girls, whatever. So he finally sits down Viola Davis and tells her he about to be a father. I remember I heard the whole theater go, ooh. And Viola Davis, she just, performance-wise, facial, she broke down. It looked like this, looked like she really was fucking Denzel, and he told her some shit like this, like, what'd you just say? And she storms out of the house. They have a soul. Basically, she has a child. Basically, this movie is about being a family man and teaching your son how to be responsible, and it's really no story in depth as far as like getting to point A to point B, because there's some years that pass in this film, at least about 6 years time frame, even though it all looks like it's submerged in this 1 year time frame, maybe a 1 week time frame, if you will. I guess that's your plot synopsis. I don't really know how to tell a plot synopsis of this story here, because there is multiple stories here that don't really make it the main story, if you will. And basically, this movie opens up like a stage play. Like, and it's one of the best stage plays I've ever seen. Like, I've seen a lot of plays in my time, especially back when I was like 19 through 24. Well, at least when I first started here, too. I used to go to plays all the time. I enjoyed the hell out of theater. I've seen tons of plays. You know, when I first started this, we had a theater actor on here, John Colella, who's done a lot of work in the industry, video game, movies, TV shows, stage plays. He's done a lot of work in it. And I went to see his play, and I thought he did a great job. Watching this, it's like I was watching the play on screen without having to be there, which I kind of admired a little bit more, just for the simple fact that I didn't feel bad if I coughed or anything like that, because, you know, you never want to do that when they're actually live doing it. And this movie right here, it's a performance film. It's a damn near performance film, because this is directed by Denzel Washington, and there's not even a bit of action or anything depth with the way it's shot or anything like that. It literally is just two people, three people, four people having conversations with each other, either in this house, the backyard, or at Denzel's job, or on that truck and stuff. First part of it is funny. And then the second half of it, it gets into some dramatic beats where he's just like, ooh, this shit is ending. Then Denzel becomes a villain. The N-word is used in here multiple times, too. It's hilarious as fuck. It's awesome as hell, to be honest. Denzel says it, and he says it like a mofo. He is the most, him and Viola Davis, with the way they fed off each other with their charm and their chemistry, it just works so well. They went on for at least about 15 minutes just talking. Like, it opens up the movie just talking, him and their friend Bono, and it's just back and forth, just telling stories and something about it. The people in the crowd is laughing, because it's literally really nothing going on, but yet we just feeding off of Denzel's charm and his charisma here. Only to fast forward a couple months later or anything like that, you know, to fast forward in the movie as well. Well, the first incident we have is McKelty Williamson. I never knew how to pronounce his brother's name. He plays Gabriel, which is Denzel's brother in the film. And we start to find out more. This is where a little bit of the heart of the movie comes from. He's kind of a vegetable now in a way. And not mentally challenged, I guess, more so. He was in the war and pretty much got his head blown. And they put metal plates in his brain and stuff like that. So he's a little mentally challenged. They gave him $3,000 and asked Denzel to take care of him. You find this story out the longer the film goes on. Because first you just see a mentally challenged man walking the streets yelling and stuff like that. And Denzel's got this look of seriousness in his face. You start to find out later that Denzel took the $3,000, bought this house they got, and tried to take care of Gabe here. But Gabriel wanted to move out, moved in with some other person, paying them rent and doing his own thing. And he comes back a lot of multiple times. Most of the movie he spends yelling, he saw death, and Gabriel opened the gates to him only for him to come back, and how he's chasing the evil away. And he said he told his brother Troy, which is Denzel White, he said when I got there, Gabriel told me, he showed me this big beautiful book and he had your name written on it, but my name wasn't on that book yet. And I was just like, god damn, that's some foreshadowing for your ass right there. You telling me you talked to fucking one of God's hierarchy supporters? That motherfucker had my name in his book. Someone told me some shit like that, I'd be like, right. But my death is definitely coming. I don't see how I'm going to prolong that. But either way, though. And so that's one of the moments. Another moment here is when Denzel tells Viola Davis he's been kind of sleeping around on her and he got the girl pregnant. And she just, that was some of the best acting I've seen Viola Davis ever do. Like, in her, it's almost a shame that she was in Suicide Squad, to be honest. Because what she did in this film, everybody was just like, ooh, and then clapping for Viola Davis and stuff like that. Because I know some people probably looking at this like, oh, she just typical housewife, old 1957. This ain't progressing women or anything like that. But she got some comebacks on your ass right here. Like, there was a scene in this film where Denzel, because the mother of this new baby dies, giving birth, and Denzel, he's talking to the daughter, and he's talking to her, he's like, I don't know how to, I'm homeless, but, I've never been homeless with a daughter before, you know, or a kid, or infant, and she tells him, I'll raise this baby, I'll be its mother, but you'll be a man without a wife, or whatever, and I was like, god damn, there's some cold-blooded dialogue in here. The dialogue in here is just spot-on perfect. The only problem I could say with this film is it doesn't give you moments to breathe, if you will, because it is like talking non-stop. It's like going. Whatever's on that person's mind, going. But the dialogue, I gotta say, most movies, I would definitely complain about that. It doesn't give you time to breathe. It doesn't stop the camera to look at something for an amount of time. But the dialogue is so good that it just doesn't bother you. I guess another problem I would have is if you've seen the play, I don't think, if the play is the same as the movie, which I don't know, there's probably no point in you seeing the movie because it feels like a stage play. And I don't know how people's, what their consensus on how they feel about stage plays turned into films and what they think about them. But if you're not into plays being turned into movies or seeing it direct to play the theater to screen, it may not work for you. I don't know. But I think that the acting is really good, so it might win you over. Hell, if the acting is like this in the play or if the acting is better in here, then you might enjoy this more. And then you got the story with the son here, too, where the first thing, because, you know, he's about to play football, but Denzel's telling him, he's like, you supposed to handle your chores, and you supposed to handle your, you know, helping me build this fence before and keeping your job and going to school. Obviously, Denzel wanted to go check and make sure if he still had his job. Courtney didn't, so, you know, Denzel pulls him off the football team. So you see this one sign, the sign in the trailer here where the son throws his helmet at the ground, and he tells Denzel, he just said, You never wanted anything good for me. You just afraid because you know I'll be a better man and a better player than you'll ever be. And I remember the look on Bono and Rose, who's Viola Davis playing, the look on their face like, oh, child, you better run. And I remember the theater went, ooh, once again. because Denzel had this look on his face. He walked down them stairs. He said, "Boy, come here." I said, "Come here." And you say, "Yes, sir," or whatever. And he got in his face. That was a tense ass. Like, any of those movies I just named earlier or anything like that don't have no tension like this film did. This film literally has tension by just face-to-face confrontations. And it gets scary at times because you slowly see Denzel becomes this guy in this film who you can't tell anything to. He ain't gonna never admit that he was wrong, and he'll admit that, "Oh yeah, I fucked up, but that what's done is done. It's time for us to move on," and stuff like that. He can't admit to himself because his pride is too big. It's almost like this fence is a metaphor for him building a castle. And this castle is something he can be the king of, because out there in the real world, he didn't amount to nothing because, you know, he feels like the color of his skin held him back. So we talking some psychological drama here right now. And when he gets in his son's face, I gotta tell you, it's kind of fucking scary to be honest. It gets intense. And especially in the scene, you see the trailer, which when he tells him, "Like you." And in a way, I wasn't raised like this at all, but I see some similarities in how I was raised. I was told to be the better than everyone, three steps ahead and all this stuff like that. My father was strict as hell on me. Hell, I brought a C home one time in math, and them motherfuckers made me study like math for a whole summer in bed by 7 p.m. and shit like that. So, and this was in eighth grade, so imagine how I felt at that time. I had really strict parents, especially having an Asian father too as well, because they had strict morals and rules and stuff like that. And I felt some similarities here in the teaching and upcomings, but at the same time, as fucked up as it was, I couldn't help but say that Denzel was just teaching them how to be a man. And that whole line about, "Do you like me, do you not like me," or anything like that, that was a damn good exchange of dialogue right there, for the simple fact that it's like, yeah, you just make sure that you do right by what you need to do. Handle what you got to do. Like you. I don't have to like you. It's my job as a man to take care of you because it's my family. It's just some fucking poetic dialogue in here. There's a scene, too, in here where Denzel... And by the way, people, don't think just because I'm saying all this, like, it's a real downer of a film. Like, there's a lot of jokes in here. And it's mainly because of Denzel and how he portrays it. There's a lot of comedy elements in here that are funny as hell. I mean, the dialogue exchange here is just adding quick humor. It's really funny, and it's got some dramatic beats to it. And it's always a punchline to every bit of conversation they have, where it just leaves you thinking, like, damn, there's this one exchange here that just caught me off guard. And I don't know if this was, like, the build right here to where he's like, okay, I see that bad guy coming out in Denzel in here. But there's a scene in here where he's talking to his oldest son, which is a funny running joke in here, where Denzel gets paid every Friday, and his oldest son always show up asking for a handout, you know, $10 more or whatever and stuff. And he says, "Shit, nigga, you always come here asking me for money." He's like, and then he's like, he said, "I already know what's coming." He's like, "So what you here for?" He's like, "Oh, pops, I'm in the neighborhood." He's like, "Yeah, nigga, you in the neighborhood to come see if you can get him some money off me. I know what the drill is." But they having a, you know, having a drink every Friday. They have a drink. Shot of some gin, go passing the bottle around, telling stories. Ooh, I hope I'm like this when I'm old. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, if I make it to that age. And he tells this story about how his upcoming was, Denzel. And even his older son never knew this, really. He's telling me, he was like, you know, he was on a creek with this girl, and he was doing his move, and his daddy showed up and put some lashes on his back, just whipped the shit out of him. Only for Denzel to see from a distance that it wasn't because, you know, he didn't take care of his chores or nothing like that. It was his daddy trying to establish dominance on him by saying, "Hey, I could take your woman if I wanted to. That's just how it's going to be as long as you live under my roof." So Denzel did an exchange on him. He said, you know, "If you're going to do that." So he took a belt. I think it was a belt Denzel said. And he said he laid some lashes on his dad. They got into a big fight. Next thing you know, at 14 years old, daddy kicked him out on the street. He's living homeless. He's walking from street to street. And he told the story about how he was robbing people. He was holding people up at knife point and stuff. And he didn't know shit got real until one day he held a knife point up to this one dude who had a gun on him. And he's like, "Holy fuck, this shit is real right here, you know?" And he's not proud of what he had to do, but he's like, "I had to do it just to survive." And then he said, I lost contact with my whole family ever since because I walked I forgot how many miles he said, but he said, I walked all the way from one state to another. And someone was like, you ain't walked from no fucking one state to another. Boy, he was like, how you think we got around back in the 1910 or whatever? We had no cars back then. We were walking and shit. And he tells a story. He's like, I ain't seen any of my family since then, except for Gabe. Gabe's the only one that kept in contact with me. And Gabe's over there eating his sandwich, twiddling his fingers. Gabe is mentally challenged brother who's got the metal plates in his brain now, whatever and stuff. And he said, still today, I wish nothing but death on my father. I want him dead. He was like, and if he is, then thank God. And I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I was like, oh, that, even his son and them, they looking at him like, oh, and Denzel, I love the camera right here. I know this movie don't really have a lot of, like it's shot perfectly or, like, not shot perfect, but shot unique and interesting or anything like that. But there was, they got some nice close-up shots over here. And they put the camera right in his face when he said that. And you believe it. Everything Denzel says in this film, you just believe. You're just like, damn, you're one of the best at working actors today. And when he said that, you really felt like hatred in his heart for his father or something like that. And goddamn, this was some just good acting. Where I've seen some films this year where it's some good acting. People creaming their fucking pants over La La Land. La La Land can eat a dick to this film, right? Okay. He can eat a dick, okay? Because I ain't saying Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone didn't act nowhere near on the levels of Viola Davis and Denzel Washington did in this goddamn film. They just nailed performances all around. And even when it gets to the ending here, where he tells him, you ain't never done anything in my life. And he tells him, them feet, them bones, and that pumping heart in you or whatever shit. And they get into a fight. He picks up that bat. And I remember saying in the trailer, ooh, Denzel, like, oh, fuck that. No, Denzel whoops his ass still with that bat. Slaps him upside the fucking, matter of fact, slapped him sideways. That boy spinned inside out when he slapped the shot of him. And he put that bat to his throat and started choking him out. And I was like, okay, it's getting a little dark now. I know he's been drinking. Shit, he's about to kill this boy. And he tells him, same thing like he told, like he his father told him, I don't want you nowhere near my house now. Get your shit and get the hell out of here. I was like, the fuck, dude? I was like, wow, all right. He just kicks him out. And then next you know it, Denzel says, I can't taste anything. And he kisses his baseball bat. He takes some swings. Then we fast forward 6 years later. Everybody's dressed in suits. The son comes back, you know, he was in the Marines. He comes back, badges and all that and stuff like that. The oldest son, we find out he was in jail for 3 years. Or he's got 9 months left. They let him out just for this one event. But you don't see Denzel. And I was like, oh, he died. Viola Davis tells a story, you know, he was taking a swing at the bat. Or at bat, whatever, and he just passed out. And this whole movie, too, Denzel spins talking about how death is coming for him. Death is coming for him. And the devil is out there, and the devil basically is the white man. That's what he's been saying. He's like, the devil is the white man. He tells this funny-ass story how the devil showed up on his door one day to sell him furniture. But the only way he's going to sell is if he pays a bill on time, so the devil won't take his shit. And he said, that was 15 years ago. I still send that $10 every day to pay for that furniture and stuff so the devil don't come knock on the door. And then Bono says, he says, 15 years? And you still paying on month payments on that furniture? He said, shit, I've been paid off. I'm just paying it as a just in case the white devil don't come and take my black ass still. Whatever. It was funny as hell when he said that, though. But to get to the end here, Denzel dies. He finally meets his maker with death. He talks about death throughout this whole film. And we see the little girl. She's grown up now. I don't know Raynell, who's played by Sanaya Sidney in here. And she does a really good job as far as being a little girl, too. I'm assuming she's 6 years old in this film. And Viola Davis raised her like her was her own daughter. She had this great monologue with her son, Corey, who told her, I ain't going to Pop's funeral. I got to learn to say no to him sometimes, whatever. And she looks at him. She slaps the taste out that boy's mouth. And she said, everything your father did or whatever he did, and she told him, you just like him. I kind of don't want to repeat what she said because I know I'm going to butcher the fuck out of it. But it was just such a goddamn good scene, especially for Viola Davis in this film. It felt like it was if anybody ever felt that she was weak or she should have just left Denzel, I mean, this like segment right here just set up exactly what she did. She said, your father provided a house over my head,
And all I've ever wanted was just family and kids and stuff like that, and a good husband, and a house, a roof over my head, which I never had in life. And she says, you know, and when I knew, when he brought that little girl into my life or anything like that, I knew. She said something on the level, I'm going to take this from it, or something like that, or whatever. I can't remember exact words for verbatim here, but it was just so damn good. And she left that boy just crying there. A lot of tears towards the end of the film. I heard people sniffling in the theater. They were crying their asses off and shit. And it was just really good how this was set up here. And the little girl, she does a great job too. The performances from the kids, I gotta say, this and Moonlight really had some great child actors in here, man. And it's nice to know that they were all black too. Because I just saw some Moonlight, obviously, we've seen. And there was a bunch of kids in there. Mainly two specifically, or four if you will, if you want to go back to their younger age here. But they just do a tremendously great job in here. And then you got the two kids in here, they just do a great job as well. But all in all, this movie is just fantastic. I mean, if you're into these type of movies where you like those quiet performance films, then this film is definitely for you. I recommend this for everyone. You have to check this out, whether it's at home or in the theaters or whatever it is. I don't know when. I think this movie comes out on Christmas Day or maybe the end of that week or something. Oh, Christmas comes on Sunday. And I know the movie is dropping Wednesday. Maybe it comes out that Friday or something like that. But I definitely recommend you go check this out, because this is a damn good film. And then the performances are just across the board. If you want to know who should win Best Actor, Best Female Actress, or anything like that, definitely. My vote right now is just for Denzel and Viola Davis to win an Oscar for this performance. Maybe not so much in direction for Denzel. I will give La La Land a little bit more credit on that, just because of the way it was shot and it has some creative, unique abilities there. And this one really doesn't have it. It's really more straightforward. Here, camera at that person, camera at that. So direction, although it is good, it's nothing that stands out on being some of the best. The best that thing that comes out of here is mainly the performance. It's a performance film. Definitely should go see it. I'm dropping a high seed on this film. I absolutely love this fucking film. It's actually one of my favorites of the year. And now I got to go back and switch up my best of list again, because God damn, I had this on a maybe list, but I didn't think it was going to live up to my expectations, because a lot of films this year just ain't been living up to my expectations. This one really knocked it out of the park. Go check this out. Fences, Denzel Washington, Viola Davis, Oscar, new guarantee right here, Oscar winning performances right here.
Corey just trying to fill out your shoes.
I don't want him to be like me. I want him to get as far away from my life as he possibly can get. You the only decent thing ever happened to me, Rose.
You can't be nobody but who you are, Troy. That's all you got to measure yourself against the world out there.
Rose, I got something to tell you. I don't know how to tell you this.
Why, Troy? Why?
You ought to know it's time.
I don't want to know, damn it!
What you ever give me? Your feet, their bones, that pumping heart.
You never done nothing but hold me back, afraid I was gonna be better than you. Everything that boy do, he do for you.
It's not easy for me to admit that I've been standing in the same place for 18 years.
Well, I've been standing with you. I got a life too. Don't you think I had dreams and hopes? What about my life? What about me? What do you want to do?
Some people build fences to keep people out. And other people build fences to keep people in.